Okay, good morning, everybody. We're up to the ayin section already of Kufiyates. And here I want to focus my energies again on one pasuk, Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu tarasacha, which literally means there is a time to act for Hashem, heferu tarasacha, for those in breach of the Torah. So the Malbim says the simple pshat is that there will be a time to act in honor and in defense of Hashem against those who are mefer es haTorah, those who repudiate the Torah. And so in that sense, it would be a little bit less remarkable. Rashi brings two, again, very beautiful interpretations, but nothing absolutely striking like we're going to get to in a second. The first is Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu tarasacha. For those who have been mefer es haTorah, there is a special time and a way to engage in tshuva. And in addition to that, Rashi brings those who only engage in Torah le'itim, that is to say, not in a habitual way, but in a kind of a less habitual way, Eis lasos Hashem, they only do it in a less kavua way, heferu tarasacha, that this is a repudiation of the bris itself, that the very nature of the bris of Torah is something which is completely demanding. But Rashi then references the third and most famous interpretation of Chazal, that this does give us license. Again, it has to be somebody like Eliyahu Anavi or Shimon HaTzadik, as we'll see, when there's a time of Heferu Sarasecha, when there's a terrible time out there that the Torah is itself in danger, like in the days of Eliyahu, and pretty much all the Jews in the northern kingdom were involved in Avodah Zarah. So Eliyahu brought everybody to Har HaKarmel, and he did something which is against the Torah. He offered a korban outside of the Beis HaMikdash to, in essence, save the relationship between Hashem and the Jewish people. Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu sarasacha, that even a mitzvah, there is the capacity that a Beis Din HaGadol has, that an Eliyahu has, that a Shimon HaTzadik has, to be able to override what otherwise would be an immutable mitzvah for the sake of the whole. And the Rambam compares it to the notion of an amputation to save the organism. The organism is more important than the organ. We have another example, the Gemara Yuma. Shimon HaTzadik left the Beis HaMikdash wearing the Big Day Kahuna because Alexander the Great was going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There's a whole story there in the Gemara Yuma and Samach Tes about how the Kutim, who were worshipping Avodah Zarah and Hara Grizim, instigated Alexander the Great to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And Shimon HaTzadik went out to greet Alexander the Great in the Big Day Kahuna, and he saved the Beis HaMikdash, Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu sarasacha, that for the broader interest of Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people, and the Mikdash is pretty essential to that, Shimon HaTzadik violated, one particular detail. The Mishnah in Masechta Brachos says this in a very beautiful way. He says, read the pasuk in both directions. Haikra meireshe l'seifa midrash meseifa l'reshe midrash. Eis lasos l'Hashem, my time mishum heferu sarasecha. As we just said, those who violate the Torah sometimes create the need for people to act. Eis lasos l'Hashem. Umatam heferu tarasecha. And why did those like Eliyahu or Shimon HaTzadik, or as we see in a second, Reb Yehuda HaNasi, act in such a way that it would otherwise be hafaras haTorah? Mishum eis lasos Hashem, they were motivated by an overall sense of the needs of the relationship with Hashem. So perhaps the most, long-standing example of this, Eliyahu and Har HaKarmel was a Hora HaShah, and Shimon HaTzadik was again just for that moment when he had to greet Alexander the Great. But perhaps the most significant illustration of this that we have, within our tradition, is the very institution of writing down Torah Shebal Peh. The Gemara Gittin and Daf Samach lays down a principle of Zarim Shebichsav Ia Tarash El Amran Baal Peh, and that Torah Shebichsav should always, otherwise else being equal, be read from the Sefer. There are other factors like Tircha the Tzibura, etc., but that's the basic approach that we take. At the same time, Dvarim Shebaal Peh Ia Tarash El Kasva, and the things that are part of Torah Shebaal Peh, they shouldn't be written down, they'll be ossified, they'll lose a certain vitality, which is essential to their nature. But Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi saw that the entire Torah was going to be lost if they didn't begin to the process of taking Torah Shebaal Peh and committing it to writing. And that was the project of the Mishnah, and then Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yoshea. After that, with the Tosafta, and Ravina and Ravashi with the Gemara, Rav with the Sifra and the Sifrei. So the point is that Torah Shebaal Peh is a kind of a concession, because really it should be something that one gains in the Beit Midrash from a Rebbe, from somebody who is able to show one a path in the Masorah. But be that as it may, as important as that idea is, nonetheless, it would be better to sacrifice this one principle for the sake of preservation of Torah as a whole. So this is something, again, that has to be handled with enormous care. The Netziv gives us certain guidelines in terms of when this principle can be invoked, the intentions that one has in invoking this principle, and the benefit that one stands to gain, of course, has to outweigh the sacrifice which is involved. But the very existence of this principle highlights for us something essential, that no single mitzvah is the totality of our relationship with Hashem. Our relationship with Hashem, and again, it has to be used with great selectivity and great caution. That cannot be emphasized enough. And mitzvahs, in principle, are immutable. But there is a broader relationship with Hashem that we always have to keep in mind. Eliyahu Hanavi, Shimon HaTzadik, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, people who had internalized the full measure of that relationship were able to make these bold and otherwise inconceivable adjustments for the sake of the totality of our relationship with Hashem. Everybody have a wonderful day.